the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. It's been said that for better or for worse, our homes are the proving ground for what we really believe. So what does your family reveal about your commitment to Christian values? Well, whatever your home life looks like, today I'm going to share with you some biblically based habits that will not only strengthen your family, but also grow your faith. My message is titled, Does Your Home Work? On today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
Ever said something you've regretted? Let something slip that hurt a friend? Perhaps you unleashed anger on someone you love. Well, you're not alone, and Dr. Robert Jeffress has written a best-selling book that deals with important issues like controlling anger, taming the tongue, and cultivating compassion. This power-packed book is ready for anyone who's ready for spirit-led transformation, ready to live the good life now. Request your copy of Heaven Can't Wait when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory.
The reason you and I have the opportunity to be saved today is because Jesus submitted his will to the will of God the Father. Philippians 2 is the central passage that teaches that. In Philippians 2, verses 5 to 9, Paul writes, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard his equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient." Obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name." You get the picture? Jesus and God, you know, one God and three persons. I don't understand that either, but that's what you have. You have God the Father, God the Son, equal in every way, but the Son willingly places himself under the Father's authority and obeys his command to go to the cross. You say, what does that have to do with wives submitting to their husbands? Everything. Jot down 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, because Paul is going to make the parallel between Jesus' submission to God and a wife's submission to her husband. In 1 Corinthians 11, 3, Paul says, "For Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ." Now notice those last two relationships. Just as the husband is the head of the wife, so God is the head of Christ. Now, is God the Father superior to Jesus the Son? No. Man, the church councils fought for hundreds of years over that issue. They got that settled. No, Jesus Christ is equal to God. But even though equal, the Son willingly submitted to the Father. And in the same way, listen to this, ladies, and especially those of you in day one who are single and maybe thinking about getting married. Before you are married, ladies, you and your prospective husband are absolute equals in every way. You're equal even in position. There's nothing that says in the dating relationship that a girl submits to the boy. It just doesn't work that way. You're absolutely equal. But when you choose to get married, ladies, you are voluntarily placing yourself under the leadership of your husband. Now, hear me on this. There's nobody that holds a gun to your head, ladies, that says you have to get married, okay? There's nothing that says you have to get married. And if this idea of submitting yourself to a man makes you want to throw up, don't get married, okay? Or certainly don't get married to the person you're thinking about. I mean, if you're considering marrying somebody whom you have no respect for, who you don't trust in their relationship with God, that God can speak through that person, if you have no confidence that this guy you're thinking about marrying is willing to put your interests above his own, then you don't want to submit to somebody like that. Don't get married. But if you choose to get married, you are choosing on your own voluntarily to place yourself under his authority, just like Jesus voluntarily placed himself under the Father's authority. Now that's what he is saying here. And the Bible says when we learn to submit to that governing authority, whatever it is, we also are learning obedience to God. Here's a second benefit of submission. Submitting to authority provides orderliness in society. It provides orderliness in society. In Judges 21, 25, there is a well-known description of what was going on in Israel before there was a king. It was a period known as the period of the judges. And Judges 21, verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." Everyone doing what is right in his own eyes, that is the prescription for chaos in any organization, whether it is the church, the nation, or the home. I mean, just think about what it would be like in a world where there were no policemen, everybody was just trusted to do the right thing. Or a society, a business, where there was no supervisor, everybody would just come and leave as he wished. Or thinking about a nation where there was no Internal Revenue Service, everybody just sent into the government what they felt like they could afford. Now, that's all appealing for a while. But ultimately, it would sow the seeds of disintegration for that organization. God has created every organism and every organization in such a way that it needs a head to give a direction, to give direction. The late Adrian Rogers used to say, anything in nature with two heads is a freak, and anything with no head is dead. That is true for any home, any church, any business. Listen to this. This applies to some of you all who are trying to run everything by consensus, or you don't want to have any clear authority lines in your home or your business. Some of you from another church listening to this, we're all just kind of all feel led by the Spirit and all come to consensus. That is chaos. Anything in nature with two heads is a freak, and anything with no head is dead. God has created authority structures to maintain order in society. Number three, submitting to authority frees us from unnecessary worry. Submitting to authority frees us from unnecessary worry. Someone defined worry one time as assuming responsibility God never intended you to have. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for you to have. A man came to see me one time. He was all worked up about what was going on in his business. He said, my employer is engaged in some unethical and I believe illegal practices, and I just can't sleep at night. I'm so worked up about that. I'm so worried about it. What am I going to do? And I said, well, have you told your employer about it? Have you pointed out that what he's doing is unethical and perhaps illegal? He said, yeah, but he won't listen to me. I said, relax then. That's not your problem. You're taking on a responsibility that God didn't intend for you to have. If you don't like it there, you can leave and go to another organization. But if you choose to stay there, you do what you're supposed to do, and God will take care of it. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of your employer. And that's true. When we obey the God-given authority that He has placed over us, we can be freed from unnecessary worry. You see, authority and responsibility go hand in hand. Men, employers, parents, if God has given you the authority over someone, He's also given you the responsibility for that person and the outcome. You can't have authority without responsibility. You can't have responsibility without authority. The two go hand in hand. And wives, when it comes to you obeying your husband, you may disagree with what your husband is proposing to do. As long as it's not against God's laws, if you do what He asks you to do, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You're not responsible. And there are a lot of people running around today. They're just buckling under the load of concern because they're assuming responsibility for something they're not ultimately responsible for. The great illustration of this in Scripture is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, and then verses 5 and 6. Peter writes, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." Verse 5, "For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right," and underline this, "without being frightened by any fear." Now, if you know the Old Testament, you know the story to which Peter is referring. Remember, Sarah and Abraham were going through some dangerous territory, and Abraham was fearful for his own life. He said, you know, if King Abimelech sees my wife Sarah and how beautiful she is, he will take her for his own wife and kill me. So he said to his wife Sarah, "Sarah, if we get captured by King Abimelech, this is what I want you to do. Don't tell the king you're my wife, just say you're my sister. And that way, if he takes you, at least he won't kill me." Now, let's just go ahead and admit right here, Abraham is not candidate for husband of the year, okay? Probably would never be interviewed on Focus on the Family. He just, you know, he isn't the model of a godly husband. I mean, he is more interested in saving his own skin than caring for his wife. So he says to her, you just tell Abimelech, you're my sister, not my wife. Now, that was a half-truth, because Sarah was his half-sister. So you know the rest of the story. They were captured by Abimelech, and he wanted Sarah for his own wife, and Sarah said that Abraham was her brother, and so he spared Abraham's life. But you also know the rest of the story. Abimelech took Sarah into his court, and God supernaturally protected her through the night. She obeyed what her husband said to do, and God protected her. Now, we can talk all day and all night about whether Sarah should have told a half-truth or not. That's not the point. What Peter is saying is she did what she knew to be right. She followed her husband's command, and God protected her. And the Bible is saying, ladies, if you will follow what your husband asks you to do, God is going to protect you. Now, let me give you a good example of that. Let's just say your husband is considering a promotion that would take you and your family to another city. And you don't think it's a good idea. You have every right and the responsibility to voice that to your husband. You know, it's not automatic, oh, yes, dear, whatever you say. That's not what we're suggesting. The fact is, you may have a lot more insights than your husband has. You may know, for example, that your children, what it would do to them to uproot them and move them to another city. You may point out to him that housing prices are so low right now, you'd take a beating on your home. There are all kinds of things that you could share, and if your husband is wise, he will listen to your counsel. But in the final analysis, if he says, I believe we should go, the Bible says you can go and know that God is going to protect you. Now, I want to say this about submission, and this will save me a lot of emails this week, okay? Submission is not unconditional. There are two qualifications for submission, two limits to a wife's submission to her husband. Submission is limited in sphere and in scope. Write that down. It's limited in sphere and scope. What do I mean by that? By sphere, I'm talking about simply this. Not every woman is to submit to every man. It is wives who are to submit to their own husbands, just like 1 Peter 3:1 says. In fact, Paul says that repeatedly too. He says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. That simply means, women, you don't have to go around submitting yourself to every man in society. The submission is only to your own husband. So it's limited in sphere. There is nothing in the Bible that keeps a woman from being the CEO of a company, a colonel in the military, or president of the United States. It's not saying that every woman is to be submissive to every man. But in the home relationship, that is where submission is to be lived out. Scope. It's limited in scope. And by that, I mean there are times you are to refuse to do what your husband says. And that is if he asks you to do anything that violates the Word of God. Peter said very clearly, we ought to obey God rather than men. If your husband asks you to do something that is illegal or immoral or in some way violates the clear teaching of the Word of God, there is no choice in that situation. We are to obey God rather than men. The fourth benefit of submission, submitting to authority gives us direction in life. It gives us direction in life. When I was youth minister here, the most popular question teenagers would ask would be this. You know, Robert, how do I know where I'm supposed to go to school? How do I know God's will about the person I'm supposed to marry? Many times I would say, well, have you asked your parents? And they would look at me like, well, what planet did you just step off of? Ask my parents? Why would I ask them? They don't have a clue about anything. So I would kind of play along for a while. I'd say, well, okay, how do you think you're going to discover God's will about where to go to college, for example? They say, well, I'll read my Bible. Well, you read all through Genesis to the maps and probably not find the university you're supposed to attend in there. Unless it's Baylor, maybe, but I don't know. No, that's another story. No. You're not going to find it in there. You're not going to find the name of your mate in here. The fact is, you're not going to find. They say, well, I'm going to pray about it. Oh, really? Well, good. We ought to pray about everything. But now, exactly how does that work? How does God actually speak to you? How does he reveal it to you? Is he going to write it in the sky? How's God going to actually tell you his will? See, one way God speaks to us is through the authority figures he's set over us, whether it's our husbands or it's our employers or whether it's the pastor or whoever it is that God has placed over us. He does that to communicate his will. And this is something, and I'm going to say this more next week for teenagers and children listening. Even if your parent is not a Christian, God can still work through that parent to provide you direction. Because in most cases, parents, whether they're Christians or not Christians, they know their children very well, and they love their children. They want the best for their children. And many times, they can provide good counsel. And it's the same way for a wife and a husband. Many times, wives, God will communicate his will to you and for your family through your husband. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you can't offer suggestions. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't share your insights. A wise husband is one who will always solicit the insights of his wife. I mean, just think about Pontius Pilate and how much trouble he could have saved himself had he listened to his wife's advice to have nothing to do with condemning Jesus Christ. He could have been spared an eternity of separation from God if only he had listened to his wife. And husbands, hopefully, you love your wife in such a sacrificial way, as such we'll talk about next week. You love her in such a sacrificial way that she is more than happy to follow your direction. You know the reason most wives won't submit to their husbands? Is because they really believe their husbands are more interested in themselves than in the well-being of the wife and the children. Now, I know some of you have had your guard up through this entire message about submission. Let's be honest. All of us resist the idea of submitting to anyone. But the fact is, if you cannot submit to the visible authority figures God has placed in your life, when they ask you to do something uncomfortable, something you don't understand, something you don't agree with, if you can't submit to them, you'll find it very difficult to submit to God. See, the bottom line in our relationship with God is our obedience to God. A freely submitted will is the best expression of love. As Gary Moon writes, at the heart of our communion with God is the whisper that comes from our heart, Lord, whatever you will. No matter where you fall on the continuum of raising a family, I hope you found Paul's admonition in Colossians helpful. I'll conclude today's message by sending a strong word of thanks today to those of you who give and those who have signed up as Pathway partners. In either case, your generosity is strengthening families. For example, a businessman called us recently and said, I'm working a new job and it keeps me far from home. I'm often out on the road driving alone, and being able to hear your sermons really helps sustain me and keeps me walking with God. I want to thank you for what you do for me. Isn't that great to know that God is using your gifts in this way? Thank you so much for linking arms with us in this worthy mission to pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But he wasn't just talking about finances. He was also referring to what you think about most, what you love the most, and what you're driven to pursue. So how do you make sure you have the right focus? Dr. Robert Jeffress answers that all-important question in his best-selling book, Heaven Can't Wait.
Life is a never-ending battle against unwanted distractions. All of us, myself included, have trouble maintaining a heavenly perspective. In my book, Heaven Can't Wait, I'll show you how to focus your heart and mind on Christ so that you get a taste of heaven right here on earth.
Are you ready to hit the refresh button on your attitudes, actions, and affections? Request your copy of this highly practical book from Dr. Robert Jeffress, Heaven Can't Wait, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you our study in Colossians 3 called Growing Strong in Christ on both CD and DVD.
How do you change your focus in life? How do you change your affections, your pursuits, your thoughts from the temporal to the eternal?
Your generous gift to Pathway to Victory will go directly towards sharing the bold teaching of God's Word with a world in need. So thank you for your continued support as we lead men and women to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ.
Submission isn't a popular topic in our individualistic culture. We live in a world that encourages us to answer to nobody and take destiny into our own hands. But it's clear from Paul's words in Colossians 3, submission is not only essential in marriage, it's essential in our relationship with God. Well, earlier in my message, I promised that the conversation on submission wouldn't stop here. Husbands, it's your turn next. So make plans to join us next time when we talk about a man's responsibility to his wife and to his children. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the best-selling book by Dr. Jeffress called Heaven Can't Wait, plus the encouragement card containing 5 practical steps to strengthen your mind is our gift to you. Simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete Growing Strong in Christ teaching series on CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Now, you know, people who say, well, the Bible is a chauvinistic document that denigrates women, they never read Colossians 3:19. Because let me tell you, this was a revolutionary concept in a world that did hate women when Paul wrote these words. You know, the Greeks, the Romans, the Jews, all treated women like third-class citizens.
Set your DVR and join us next time for the message, Dads, Front and Center, here on Pathway to Victory.